Amen. That was beautiful. Amen. And we appreciate Kaylee. She has a wonderful testimony, too, and a beautiful voice. We appreciate the song. Anyone have anything you want to say before we read a lesson this morning? All right, if not, I'd like to invite your attention to the fifth chapter of the Gospel as recorded by Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 13 through 20 for my lesson. Matthew 5 and 13. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of man. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now that's my lesson for today, and I pray that God will bless the reading of His word, and that it'll be for our good and for His honor and glory. I want to use as my subject for today our Christian influence. Our Christian influence. It's always been my practice to try and not get into politics from the pulpit. I have my own personal opinions about things, but everyone else has the same right and the same privilege, so I don't try to preach politics from the pulpit. And I'm not going to do that today either. I'm not speaking in behalf of any political party. I'm speaking for the Lord. I'm speaking for God Almighty and for His Son, Jesus Christ. And so with that said, I want to talk to you about our Christian influence in the world. This lesson that I read today, it was first given by the Lord Jesus Christ. He called unto Him His disciples. And He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, He began to teach them. This is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. And if you would read the entire sermon that Jesus delivered, it will enlighten all of us about how we should live, how we should treat our fellow man, and how that we should worship the Lord. And in this lesson that I read in your hearing, the Lord Jesus sets forth some very important truths that I want to discuss with you for a little while. Now, I want to go back just for a few minutes, and I want to talk about the beginning of civilization. I'm not that old, but I'm going to tell you about what I've read, okay? I didn't experience all of this. But we know that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then God created man on the sixth day. And he gave to him a helpmeet. And they began the first family that ever lived on the earth. And from the first family, there came different tribes. There were tribes of people that were formed by the descendants, of Adam and Eve and other people. They had tribes of people. Then they had kingdoms of people. They had empires, and they had nations. We read about the sons of Noah. It was the three sons of Noah that all the nations were established. They went into different parts of the world, and they established nations of people. And most of them, they became corrupt. The antediluvian world, that is, those who lived before the flood, the Bible tells us that they corrupted themselves, and they became vain in their imagination. And their foolish hearts were darkened. And they followed their own lust. The results of that was the judgment of God upon the world. God sent a flood and destroyed every living creature upon the face of the earth, wherein was the breath of life. Now, the sea creatures that had gills and so on, I don't think they were destroyed because they could survive in the water. But everybody that breathed air, every creature that breathed air was destroyed. And so they became immoral and they became spiritually corrupt, morally and spiritually corrupt. And then we read in the Bible about God speaking to a man by the name of Abram. He lived in the land of Mesopotamia. That was a place where idolatry prevailed. And God spoke to him, and he told him to get out of that place and to go to a place that he would afterward show him. And God made this promise to Abraham. And you can read this in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. God told Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make a great nation from you. And he said, I'm going to bless them that bless you, and I'm going to curse them that curse you. And so Abraham obeyed God. And he went out. The Bible said by faith he went out, not knowing where he was going. But he was dependent upon the word of God. And so God told Abraham, he said, this is not going to happen, immediately. He said there will be 400 years. That your descendants will go into captivity. And then they will be delivered. And so God raised up Moses. And I'm just giving you an overview as a foundation for what I want to say. He raised up Moses and he said, Moses, my people, Abraham's descendants, they're down in Egypt. I've heard their cry. They are afflicted and they're crying for deliverance. I want you to go down and deliver them. And so Moses, he went down And after a period of time, he led the children of Israel out of bondage, and they crossed the Red Sea. A lot of miraculous things happened during that period of time. God is a God of miracles, and God has all power in heaven and in earth. And God can do whatever he proposes to do. So he did that. He worked these great miracles in their sight. Well, they got into the wilderness after they crossed the Red Sea, and they began to murmur and to complain. And God provided for them every need. And so after a while, God says to Moses, he says, I want you to come up in the mountain. I want to talk to you. And so Moses went up in the mountain, and God said, Moses, he said, I want you to tell the people that if they will obey my voice and they will do what I want them to do. This is in Exodus chapter 19. And I'm turning to it because I can't quote it this morning for some reason. But this is what he said. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So Moses went down from the mountain, and he gathered together the elders of the children of Israel, and he told them what God had told him. And they said unto him, all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people to the Lord. And so God formed a nation, a special nation of people. God gave them laws to govern them. God is a God, I do believe, of truth and justice. And I believe that God is a God of law and order. I believe that God gave to the children of Israel the Ten Commandments. I read in the Bible, the first commandment was, thou shalt have no other God before me. He said, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor bow down and worship it. He said, thou shalt not use the Lord of the name of the Lord in vain. God is God, and God should have the reverence and the respect of the whole world, because every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. In him we live and move and have our being in this world. And God deserves to be reverenced and to be respected by everybody. And so he went on with his commandments. And he said unto them, thou shalt remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. He said, thou shalt do no work on the Sabbath day. But it shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you and a holy convocation. Then he went on and said, honor your father and your mother. Which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God hath given to thee. And then he just kept on giving laws, And he said, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt do no murder. That's what it meant. Thou shalt not deliberately and intentionally take any life. And folks, that means any life outside of the womb or any life inside of the womb as well. So God said, thou shalt do no murder. He went on and he said, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. And he gave 10 of those commandments. I don't know if I left one of them out or not. But anyway, that was to govern their lives. You know, you can't go wrong following God. What God has proposed and has given to us as a rule of faith and practice, we ought to practice it. And we ought to abide by it. And so, anyway, I want to tell you this. God gave the moral law, and God gave the civil law. I tell you, we ought to also obey the civil laws of our land. They were given for our good. I read in the Bible, 13th chapter of the book of Romans, where it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God." And he's having reference to the rule of law, a civil law. I want to turn over there just for a minute. And I don't want to spend a lot of time, but this is, I think, very important today. He said, the powers that be are ordained of God. Governments, authorities were ordained of God. And he said, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God." And he said, "And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." It's a pretty serious thing, you know, to violate the laws of God. And he said, "For rulers are not a terror to this world." No, I'm sorry, I did that wrong. "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil." And he said, "Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he that is the authority is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake." Now, you know, the law that God gave, his law is for our good, and it's for the good of society, and it's for good the good of mankind. And so he gave the moral law so we would know what is morally correct and morally incorrect. And he gave the civil law so that we would know how to treat each other. You know, I really believe today, I believe that we need to respect, in this world, we need to respect one another. And we need to respect the property of others. Do you know under the law that God gave to Israel, if a man destroyed another man's property, he had to restore it fourfold. Had to give it back, you know, make up for it. It was wrong to destroy other men's property. And so that was covered by the civil law. And I don't have time to go into all of that. But he also gave the ceremonial law. That were the rules for their worship. The ceremonial law was the rules for their worship. I say again today that God is a God of law and order. And we need to follow the laws of God. Now listen to what the Bible said. I referred to the first commandment. It said, "Thou shalt have no other God before me." And now listen. In Psalms 33 and 12, the Bible said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." That is, blessed is that nation. God blesses that nation that recognizes God and that lives according to the laws of God. God will bless that nation. And then he goes on in Proverbs 14 and 34. This is what it said. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness, right living, Right living exalts a nation. But sin, sinful living, it is a reproach to any people and to all people and to every person. A sin is a violation of God's laws. Did you know the Bible said that sin is the transgression of the law? And so, one other verse of Scripture in reference to that. In Psalms chapter 9 and verse 19, the Bible says this, "The wicked shall be cast into hell with all the nations that forget God." We as a people need to be very careful in these days in which we live that we don't forget God, that we don't leave God out of our dealings, that we don't leave God out of our government, that we don't leave God out of our society. I tell you that it's a serious thing to forget God and to acknowledge God. And to follow God will bring blessings from above. It'll bring blessings to the whole world. Now, I want to get to this lesson I read in your hearing just a minute. It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." I think he was talking to Christians. He was talking to people who were followers of Christ. People who were imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember down at, I believe it was Antioch, the Bible says that they were called Christians first at Antioch. They went down there, the disciples, after Jesus had resurrected from the dead and had ascended back to heaven. They went out doing what he told them to do. You go preach the gospel to people. They went down there and they called them Christians. Followers of Christ, imitators of Christ, because they were living like Christ did, and they were doing the things that Christ did, and they were telling people the things that Christ said, and they were called Christians. And folks, I believe today that Christians are still the salt of the earth. I believe that we are the preservers. Salt preserves things. I was raised on the farm, and we killed our hogs, and we salted the hams and the shoulders and the bacon and everything. We put it in a salt box and salted it. We left it for a certain period of time. Then we took it up and we hung it up in the smokehouse, and that salt was a preserver. It kept the meat from spoiling. And I tell you, Christian influence in the world can keep a nation from spoiling. It can keep them from corrupting themselves and going the wrong way. So he said, if the salt has lost its savor, now if salt gets to where it don't taste salty anymore, it's not good for anything. You might well just throw it out, because it's not going to benefit anything. So he said, if the salt, hath lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the feet of men. Then after that, he said, you're the light of the world. He said, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. He said, neither doeth a man light a candle and put it under a bushel. Put it on a candlestick that it might give light to all that are in the house. And he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Not glorify you, but glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, I just want to say this. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see, those of us who have been born again, you know, we have the same Father that Jesus had. God is our Father because we have been begotten from above. We've been begotten again unto a lively hope. And our hope is in the Lord Jesus. And our hope reaches within the veil where Jesus sits on the right hand of God. Our light, let your light so shine. Jesus is the light of the world. And when he went away, he said, now you're the light of the world. People can't see me, they can see you. What you do is important. The way you act is important. The things you stand for is important. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. So you can be a help to those who are in darkness. And you know, the Bible says the whole world lies in darkness. And you know, the devil is the god of this world. And the devil, you know, he would like to destroy the faith of God. He'd like to turn people away from God. He'd like to turn nations away from God. He'd like to turn churches away from God. How he'd like it if he could close down Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. It would tickle him to death if he could extinguish the light that emanates from this house of worship as we come together from Sunday to Sunday. And I'm telling you, our Christian influence is important. Now then, I want to go just a little bit further with this. Some people think, you know, that as long as we're making money and we're, you know, living in pleasure, that's the most important thing. But folks, that's not the most important thing. All of us want to live a good life and we want to prosper and so on. But listen to what Jesus said. He said, take heed. This is in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. He said, take heed of covetousness. He said, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. There's more to life than just having abundance of things and living in pleasure. There's more to life than that. I want to say, we as Christians, we need to lead the way, you know? We need to lead the way. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. This morning, you know, as the pastor of this church, I guess most people would say that I'm your leader. But I would say this morning, if I don't follow Christ, don't you follow me. You know why? Because Christ is the good shepherd. He's the one that we are to follow. And don't you follow any man that won't follow Christ. Don't follow any person, any politician, or anything else that won't follow Christ. Listen. We need to lead the way. We need to be the example for other people to follow. And I want to say this as I try to close. It is our civic duty to vote. It is our civic duty. I want to encourage you, however you vote, I want to encourage you to vote. And I want you to, as a Christian, I want you to do this. I believe that it is our Christian duty to vote for Christian values. For Christian values. Your Christian values ought to determine the way you vote. And you know, these are perilous times. These are dangerous times. They really are. And I want us to be leaders. I want us to let our light shine. I want us to be an influence for good. I want us to be an influence for righteousness, for right living, for obeying the laws of the land. We've seen some terrible things on television in the last few weeks. Things that I thought would never come to America. And I tell you, we have a voice, and we have a vote, and we can follow the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you to do that. Now, that's my message for today. And I believe I've preached the truth. I believe I've preached the truth. And I believe that God will help you and me to stand. You know, the Bible said, stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand. Just keep on standing for the truth and for the right. I long for this nation to turn back to God. And I long for it to be known and recognized around the world as a God-loving and God-fearing nation. And I pray that God will help us to accomplish that in the name of the Lord Jesus. May God bless you. That's my message for today. Anybody have anything you want to say? Brother Wayne, let's stand up and sing God Bless America. What do you say? I believe in that this nation, you know why it was founded? There was people that were being oppressed and persecuted because of their worship of God. And they wanted to find a land and establish a country with religious liberty where they could worship God according to the dictates of their hearts. And this land was founded on the principles of religious liberty. What a great blessing it is. Let's stand and let's sing.